All right, everybody, come on, welcome to the third week of our Ghost Stories series. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand, everybody. Come on, he deserves it, amen. What an amazing morning. We're already off to, man, worship was powerful today. You know, worship sets the word in motion, and so it helps me preach better. so thankful. Our team works so very hard every single week. God is definitely in this place today, and so if you are here for the first time, again, I want to welcome you. So glad that you're with us here. And would you also give a great big hand for all of those that are listening online today? Come on, let's welcome them. We have a lot of people joining with us online, and the online audience continues to grow. People from all across the nation, even the world, listening. And so we are so glad to have you along for the ride with us today. You can grab your message notes, and I want to begin with a verse of scripture and just kind of talk with you for a second and then get into our message. Y'all been enjoying this series? All right. How about the rest of you? You enjoying the series? All right, I'm telling you, I feel like God is just all over this series. And we have just been hearing tremendous feedback from this series. I feel like it's been one of the most incredible feedback that we've gotten on a series that we've done. So, I think people are just hungry for more of God. Contrary to what culture may try to paint, trust me, God is present and he's actively moving in the lives of people and people who don't even know that he's moving yet. He's moving. Everybody say he's moving. He's moving. Say he's on the move. Yeah. So what I believe this series is doing is just setting us up for what God wants to continue to do. And I believe that the body of Christ, that we are in one of the greatest positions, opportunities in the world today to shine brighter. Trust me, the church ain't lacking. God is moving. He's raising up his people to be a voice, to be light in the midst of darkness. And, I don't get caught up much. You know, I watch news a little bit just to see what's happening in the world around us, but I don't get caught up too much in it because, you know what, at the end of the day, our God is in control of it all. And so whom shall we fear? What shall we fear when our God is in control? Amen, everybody. This is a verse of scripture, I want them to go ahead and throw it up on there. I'm going to read it to you in just a second. But how many like to give gifts? How many like to receive them too? Come on, be real honest. Yeah, I like to receive them too. Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. And, you know, I was thinking this week as we were setting up this message that I like to open gifts, man. I love it. I love Christmas time. I love birthday time. And hopefully you're opening up the gift that you want. How many know what I'm talking about? How many know about the awkward sweater that you got that you never asked for? The pajama pants that you have no idea how they came in the present that you got, but somebody got them for you. How many know what I'm talking about? How many ever seen Christmas Story? Yeah, I mean, great movie, Ralphie. I mean, you remember the pink bunny outfit he got from his aunt, you know? Jeez, I mean, stuff like that that happens. But it's fun to give, and it's fun to also receive gifts. And this verse in Scripture, we're actually going to look at this verse twice today. We're going to look at it. Excuse me, in two different versions. The first one out of the Message Bible, and it just says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. Everybody say love. Love. Because it does. Give yourselves to the gifts God gives you. And that's what today's topic in this series is all about, is gifts from a friend. Gifts from your friend, the Holy Spirit. And I think we're going to look at this today, and I'm also going to help to answer some questions here today to help us to continue to grow in our personal life with God, understanding who the Holy Spirit is, and then also understanding, even as a church, it's important that we understand what we believe and why we believe what we believe. And, you know, I began this series encouraging us that it's important to have right theology in your life, that you know what you believe, and because the right theology will lead to a right lifestyle. Amen, everybody? And so we've got this, our theme verse of Scripture, out of 2 Corinthians, and I'm just going to kind of hang out with you. Come on, like I was at your house, you know, just have some steak, potatoes. Just want to talk things over with you today. Come on, it's okay if you have me over to your house today, all right? Just hanging out. Maybe have some dessert afterwards, maybe a little peach cobbler, you know what I mean? Just want to hang out today. Is that cool with everybody? All right, good. I just want to make sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 14. And before I read this verse, don't miss tonight. I mean, if you can do everything you can to be here tonight, I just want to encourage you to be here tonight. It's our summer nights. We have a night. It's devoted just, we just don't have time constraints. We're in multiple services. We're growing as a church. It's a fun problem to have. And, you know, nights like tonight are nights that we just get to have a little bit more time in worship and hanging out. And the message I'm bringing tonight is different than what you'll get on a Sunday morning. And I've got something on my heart special tonight that I really believe is from the Lord. And if you're in a place that you feel like you need freedom in your life, you need to be here tonight. And look at the person next to you and say, don't miss tonight. So we're also going to have a time of just prayer tonight and just praying, connecting with people. And then we also have a time of communion. And it's always such a powerful time. So you don't want to miss tonight. If you can get here, I encourage you to get here. All right, let's read the verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God. You're seeing the full picture of the Trinity right here in action. And the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The first relationship that we need in our life is Jesus. Jesus is everything that you need. Before you can connect to God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, you must first connect and accept the gift of salvation. We're going to look at that here in a minute. The free gift that is in Jesus Christ, and believe that what he's done for you. Because it's only by Jesus that we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith. And so what I think has happened in the course of just time is I think many have went into a place of uncomfortability on the topic of the Holy Spirit. And again, our hope that through this message is that I can hopefully do a good job of trying to be very clear on this, but also really helping all of us to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I'm telling you, it's the game changer. When you activate this part of your walk with the Lord, anything is possible. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, anything is possible. And so many people don't know him as a him or as a person. They know him as an it. And they describe him as a hit, as an it. And so what I've asked in this series is for you guys to work with me. Give me 3 or 4 blank pages of notes to work with, throwing out every preconceived idea, notion, and maybe concern that you've ever had on this topic, and open up your heart. And as we look into the Word of God together to see what he has to say on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a mystical force that's just out there. He's a him. And so I believe a lot of the reason why people believe what they believe on the Holy Spirit is not because of what the Bible has said, but it's because of what people have done. And so I think it's so important that we look at Scripture, we identify the role of the Holy Spirit and who he is and what God says for him in our life. And it's unfortunate because a lot of Christians have distanced themselves from their relationship with the Holy Spirit. But I'm believing that by the end of this series, we're going to conclude this next week, that you are going to be in a much different place in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen, everybody? And so the first week, if you missed it, we talked about the Holy Spirit, our counselor. We talked about we looked at who he is, and we identified his role in our life. If you missed those last two messages these last few weeks, please make sure you go online, take a listen to it. But we understood in the Greek, it's the word counselor, the word parakletos, which means to be called to one side. And we understood that through that week that the Holy Spirit is called to our side forever as we engage in a relationship with him, that's part of his work. And I'm so glad that everywhere I go, he's with me. Aren't you glad that God's with you? Amen. And so then last week, we took an opportunity and looked at, well, what I think it may be difficult for some people to understand, but I hope we did a good job of trying to make it very simple, of looking at the literal translations of the Holy Spirit. And as we dove into the word, we identified Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, as the words in the Hebrew, ruach, and in the Greek, it was the word pneuma, which means blast of breath, wind. And so my hope last week was to really just kind of raise the level of comfortability with identifying who he is and how he moves in our life. And so today I want to talk to you on, I think, what can be a controversial subject. I just think for some reason, it has been, and so I think hopefully today I've been working hard on this, and that we really make things clear and help us to understand the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he gives to us. And so I think there's 3 different types of gifts. I want to start off with the first one. You jot this one down, is the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. You can write eternal life right in there, and we receive the gift of eternal life because of what Jesus has done for us, the price that he paid over 2,000 years ago, that God sent his son into this world to die for our sins. I'm so glad that I didn't have to pay for my own debt. I'm so glad that I didn't have to pay for my own sins, but God sent his son Jesus to pay and to wipe the slate clean. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen, everybody. What a savior. What a savior. And so he paid the bill for all the sins that we have committed. And you know, you've heard me say, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but you know, as long as heaven and hell are realities, we have a job to do, and we have to reach as many people for Jesus as we possibly can. And you know, hell is not a place that God just sends people because he's mad at. Hell was never meant for me and you. Heaven was and always is meant for us. And we just have to receive the gift, the free gift of salvation of Jesus Christ in our life. And so it's unfortunate for people that deny Christ and don't want any part of a relationship with him will go to a place called hell. And it is a real place. And that's where really people are paying for their own mistakes. But I'm not interested in paying for my own mistakes when he made the way easy and accessible over 2,000 years ago so I can have life. Amen, everybody. Come on, thankful for Jesus. And so I think there can be a lot of confusion. So I want to be very clear on this. The gift of Jesus Christ is the only thing that you need for heaven. By accepting him in your life, it's always and always will be about a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm so thankful for my friend, the Lord. And everything that we have talked about even to this point from the Holy Spirit and his gifts has nothing to do with heaven or hell. They're not heaven or hell issues. And so I want to be clear, to have a home in heaven is to receive the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life in your life, because Jesus paid the way for us. Aren't you glad? Amen? Here's the second one. Jot this down, is the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to explain why I believe this so much, and I think it's so important as we understand the working of the Holy Spirit. This is a separate gift from salvation. I'm going to tell you what I mean, because Jesus already paid for our sins, and we see that in John chapter 20. Jesus has paid for the sins, and he, when you look in that chapter, he ministered forgiveness to the disciples, ministered forgiveness of their sins to the disciples, and he breathed on them. And you'll notice that if you take some time and read that chapter this week, it's powerful. Breathe on them to receive the Holy Spirit and to forgive them of their sins. And then he makes this statement. I like it a lot here in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, beginning in verse 4. And it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Everybody say the gift. This is not a heaven or hell gift, all right? He said, my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God intentionally helped us to identify this as two gifts, because I believe he didn't want us to confuse the two, that we need to understand the gift of eternal life, of salvation, is the all-important one. That we need to have a relationship, and if we're going to spend eternity in heaven, that we must have a relationship with Jesus. I want to make sure that's very clear today. And so I think what's happened is a ton of Christians that we get saved, and then we kind of leave the benefits on the table. We kind of leave everything else that God wants to do, and we just kind of leave it there. But this is the part of your life that you need. You need you need to be activated in your walk with the Holy Spirit. You know, I described it in week one. It's like gas to a car. It's like oxygen to your body. You need, how many know it's frustrating to try to drive a car that has no gas in it? It's hard to maneuver life. It's hard to get to work if you ain't got no gas in it. How many know what I'm talking about? You've been there. Yeah, you're calling somebody to take you to work instead. And so that's how I liken it to your and I's life. We need the Holy Spirit active in our life, and it's available. He's available for every one of us to tap in and to move forward into a relationship with him, and for us to help us see and to bring the counsel that we need in our life. And here's the other gift that I want to spend time talking about. The gift is spiritual gifts. All right? Everybody say spiritual gifts. That's the topic here of today. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 6. And it says this, that we have different gifts according to the grace given us. I love the fact that God offers different gifts to us. I love the fact that not all of us are the same. I cannot imagine another Kyle being here. Oh my gosh. I would pray for you. Seriously. You know, I'm so glad that God operates with diversity, man, that he just is a God that offers many gifts and makes them available to us. The gift, the word gift, I think this is awesome. This is not in your notes. If you want to write this down, you can, for all the note takers out there. The word gift in the Greek comes from the word charis, which is where we get the word charisma, or where we get the word charismatic from. And charis literally means this, grace gift. That's what it means. And what it means is that God has given you and I a unique divine ability from him when he's given us gifts. That's why I'm so thankful for the different gifts that's in operation, that's even represented here today, because we need the different gifts. We need people, guess what, that can paint the wood, because y'all don't want me doing that. It would have been like zigzag. You know what I'm saying? You want it to actually look good. And so there's gifts that are given to us. Grace gifts. I like how that's said. And, you know, one of the things I know that God has gifted me with is to speak in public. This is one of my gifts. And, you know, my brother, Austin, he's a drummer. And so he drums for our worship team, and that's his gift. Y'all don't want me playing drums, or you will not come back to this church. It'll be one of the worst worship experiences you've ever encountered if I'm playing drums, all right? I like to think I can play them. A brother can dream, right? You know what I'm saying? So I dream a lot about what it's like to be able to play some drums, but that's all it is, everybody, so don't worry. I ain't getting up there, all right? But there's different gifts that are represented. The person on your right and your left has different abilities, different talents, and I think that's what makes us all so unique and so special. And so many have asked this question, and I want to help answer some questions today about just who we are and help to be clear on some things. We've had people ask us, are we a charismatic church? And I would say we don't use that term. And I would say we don't really use any terms like that to describe who we are. And the reason why is because people have made definitions for those things. And people have redefined words like charis and its original meaning to represent and to mean other things. And so personally, I just don't feel comfortable titling us that or labeling us that. I'm just not real big on that. And I think, honestly, it's hard to use any terms like that any longer, because there's so many attitudes, there's so many opinions about words like that, that it just, I don't think it's healthy. And so there's a funny thing that us pastors like to do. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, all right? There's something that we just, we have fun doing, and it's you'll probably laugh and think I'm funny, but hopefully you do, or you may say, you know, he's crazy, I don't know. But there's something that we like to do, and when we're out at places, and we know maybe someone knows the Lord, we kind of like to play, you know, along with them and try to, you know, see what it's like, you know, to see kind of how much they know. So we really don't tell them that we know the Lord and that we're saved. And so one of our pastor friends was this is a while back, and he was sitting down. He was opening up an account at a new bank, and he said that he was sitting there, and the woman who was helping to take care of him was on the phone, and he said that in this particular setting, he said, I looked down, and I noticed she had doodles. But her doodles, how many ever doodle before, like when you're bored? She had Christian doodles. You know, she had like the cross, she had, you know, the fish, the ichthus, and she had PTL, you know, and so he knew that, you know, she knows the Lord, you know, and he said, it's going to be one of my opportunities, you know. And so I know it's bad. I know it's bad. We do this. I do this too. And so I just like this story a little better than my experiences. And so he said, oh, you know, I saw when she got off the phone, she said, oh, I noticed that you have, you know, all these Christian doodles. And her just eyes got big, and she thought, oh, I got a prospect. You know what I mean? And so she said, the first thing she said, well, let me tell you about my church. And so she goes in and she's talking about, she said, we have drums and, you know, people clap their hands and, you know, the music's kind of loud, but it's cool. And she kind of hunkered down. She looked to the right and to the left, and she said, but you know what? She said, we're not one of those charismatic churches. And he said, charismatic? He said, well, what do you mean? She said, yeah, we're not one of those churches that handle snakes. He said, oh. He said, whoa, me neither. You know what I'm saying? And so it's unfortunate, but there's been definitions, and people have redefined it to be things that it's not, everybody. And so I think we've got to get back to the original intent of what God's word says, because the word charis means gift. Everybody say gift. It has nothing to do with any of the other associations that are out there. And so because of cultural and traditional terms, I'm just personally just not comfortable with it. And so we don't use that term at all right, to describe who we are. But to be honest with you, the biblical answer would be yes, because we're a church that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the grace gift. Amen, everybody. Amen. I hope we understand that. And so Paul found himself in a really a similar place. He planted a church in a city called Corinth. And there, people received the Holy Spirit. And so, but Paul had to arrive on the scene to try to bring some order because things were getting out of order and things were getting a little crazy. And so Paul actually starts an entire chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on this subject of spiritual gifts. But I think it's interesting, and I would encourage you to do this week, is go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Now, I think it's interesting because when you look at those three chapters, chapter 12 and 14 have everything to do, and it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we know, and if you don't know today, it's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known in Scripture as the love chapter. And it's a powerful chapter, by the way. And it's everything. And I thought it was interesting. And I was, you know, I usually preach my message a few times to Bethany so she, you know, makes sure, you know, it's all good. And so I was telling her, I was just studying this out. I said, isn't it amazing that the Apostle Paul, here he's talking about the gifts, then an entire chapter devoted to love, and then gifts again. And I think part of that is to remind us at the end of the day, everybody, it's all about loving God and loving people. And we must stay on mission, and we must stay on point. Amen, everybody? And so 1 Corinthians 12, 1, he said, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. What a way to start it off. He's saying, I appreciate your attempts, but it ain't going real well. he's saying this, people are out of control on both sides. There's two extremes that were happening if you look in Scripture. There was the first extreme of people that said, I want nothing to do with this Holy Spirit. I want nothing to do with these things God gives. And then there's the other extreme of people who received the Holy Spirit that were doing things with the gifts that just were not biblical. And so God was setting in the apostle to help bring some order to what was going on in the church. And so people have asked me, they've asked us in our church, do you believe the spiritual gifts are for today? My answer is absolutely, I do. And I'm going to continue to show you that. Some believe, and there's a doctrine out there called cessationism, or they call themselves cessationists. And this doctrine teaches that the gifts actually died when the apostles died. But there's no scripture for that. And that is simply not true. All right, are you with me? And so John chapter 14, and I will say this, that Jesus makes his gift available to you and for me and our families and our children. And guess what? Even those who seem afar off right now, that he loves them and he's got great plans for them as well. But I love this scripture here in John 14, 12. Jesus said this, that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, time out just for a second, because before you read the rest of that verse, I first of all think that's pretty awesome that we can go and do likewise. But I love the Savior that we serve. What an incredible selfless Savior that not only demonstrated it on a cross over 2,000 years ago, but also wants to demonstrate it in the lives of the 2015 believer today, because he takes it a whole nother level up. And then he says, and greater works. Everybody say greater works. Than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, if that didn't melt your brain like it melts mine, then read it a few more times and your brain might melt, all right? Because here's what that says to me, that God is desiring for his church to even do greater things than what you read about even in the Gospels. He said, because I go to my Father, I want you to do greater things. What a Savior, everybody, that just doesn't want us to stay content with what we believe, but wants us to live out the life of transformation and share it and go to new levels with him and experience the more of who God is. I'm so glad that I have a God that I serve that has more to him than just what I've currently experienced or what I currently know. Amen? Amen. And so it's interesting because I think in old time Christianity, what has happened is I never hear arguments about the gift of mercy, the gifts of faith, the gifts of giving, or the gifts of love. But a lot of the arguments that have happened in old school Christianity has centered around one gift, and that is the gift of tongues. And so there are so many different beliefs on this. And so I'm going to be clear on it today and help us understand the gifts, because that's the topic of the Holy Spirit. Some people believe, that tongues is of the devil. Some believe that you cannot go to heaven unless you speak in tongues. Some believe that you can't have the Holy Spirit unless you're speaking in tongues. And there's churches that really do teach that. And it's sad to me because it's not what the Bible says. None of that is true. It's not what Scripture says. And so in Scripture, you see two different forms of tongues. The first one is in a personal prayer language, which I believe and I personally have in my personal time with God. And then there is the gift of tongues as a gift, all right? It's one of the gifts. And so today, again, I'm talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's right around anywhere from 25 to 30, right in there. I don't have an accurate number. I tried to study it as well as I could this week of spiritual gifts in the New Testament that's available to us. But tongues is one of them, but the focus shouldn't be on just the one. And I think we need to understand that. And here's what I think has happened. I think the enemy has tried to hijack the Holy Spirit and trying to make Christians and make people believe that it's just about one gift. And it's not. And so, and at the same time, it can't be avoided either. So we have to understand that. All right, everybody? 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So I believe that it shouldn't be avoided, but it cannot be abused. And I think we have to have a right heart and a right understanding with this. And so again, everybody, I'm introducing to you the Holy Spirit, our friend, and who he is and his benefits, all right? And I would even say this very quickly. I would be very careful about anything the Holy Spirit wants to give you. And in saying that, I would be very careful in talking about it like it's some kind of repulsive experience. I think we need to be very, very careful with that, because anything God wants to give you, anything the Holy Spirit himself, these gifts, wants to give you is good. It's good. He's good. Amen, everybody? His gifts are not weird. They are not spooky. He is good. And so some have asked us, and we've gotten this quite a bit. I've gotten this as a pastor just in our short 3 years as a church, that they've asked this question, are tongues a part of your services? And my answer to that is it's never been a part of our services. And I believe according to Scripture, it shouldn't be. And I want to show you that here in 1 Corinthians 14:23. It says, so if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? And, you know, I remember this, true story. I used to, growing up in old school Christianity where I came from, I tried to invite friends that didn't know the Lord to services, and they got freaked out, and they would never come back. And it broke my heart, because my heart went with them, because I was more concerned about their soul and where they were at in their relationship with God. And so we're in a place that I believe this, when we are together, that we're coming together not for us. And I believe that Paul is very clear that we are a church on mission and must stay on point to continue to reach our city, continue to love people and make a difference, and stay on the mission and on point and seeing the lost people come in. It's why we've seen over 1,000 people make decisions for Jesus, everybody. And I think that's powerful. Yeah, you ought to give God a hand for that. It's awesome. And so the Bible is telling us that we need to be sensitive. We need to be mindful for those that don't understand and those that don't believe. And I love it, because the Holy Spirit gives us guidelines on how to live. And he's teaching us how to behave. Remember in week one, I talked to you, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And when we come to his house, just like when you have a guest in your house, you're going to treat them with love, respect. Man, you want them to come back. You want to have a relationship with them. And so Paul said this. I think it was interesting that Paul made his statement. He said, I speak in tongues more than anyone else. He said, he challenged us in this, but he said, God is more concerned about the people that are coming to Christ than us just doing our own thing. That's the point and the mission that we've got to stay focused on. And so I want to get you on a comfort level with him today and understanding the gifts from a friend. 1 Corinthians 14:1, here's that verse of Scripture out of the NIV. It says, follow the way of love. And I like this, eagerly. I encourage you to underline that. You can download it too. I about said download. So you can download the verse if you want. There you go. All right. Desire spiritual gifts. I like the word eager. Because kind of like how we talked about at the beginning of this message, like we like to give, but we like to receive. It's fun. And so number one, jot this down. His gifts are unique. How many have ever had a gift that was unique? Like, it's just different. Like, there's some thought put into it. Like, I'm so thankful for gifts like that, that are just kind of, they're different. And they're unique. And it's not the same. And, you know, because you can obviously tell there was some kind of time that was put into that gift. But that's the same way for the Holy Spirit, that his gifts to us, they are unique. And so I remember a gift that, how many remember, if you were here back in the spring with us, Pastor Dino Rizzo was with us. You know, this is a guy that loves to give gifts. Like, if you talk to any of our art coaches, our art team, they'll tell you, man, Pastor Dino can give you some gifts that are unique. That's why I love it. So anytime I see him or anytime he says he's got something or he's going to send, I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm like, what is he thinking about next? You know what I mean? So when I picked him up at the airport, that the time he was coming to preach for us, he shows up with a bag in his hand, and he said, Kyle, he said, man, this is for you. I wasn't expecting anything. I was like, wow, that's awesome. And his son Dylan with him, and I opened it up, and I looked in. It's a Nike shoebox. I was like, oh, come on, Dino Rizzo. Open it up. Y'all know he got me some Nike kicks. I was like, come on, man. I was so happy. I thought, now that's unique because I didn't expect that. You know, I thought maybe a card and maybe a gift certificate, you know, or something like that, you know. But no, he went out. I mean, he you know, got some tennis shoes. I mean, what a first impression, right? So gifts that are unique, 1 Corinthians 12. Beginning in verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Three times in that you'll notice the word different. It means you're unique. All of us are originals. Every one of you have value to God, and God desires to use you. And guess what? The gifts that he gives you are customized for you. The gifts that are customized for you to use. And you're like, and I think it's cool because you can see it in families and people that you know. You can see it in, you know, maybe your parents or your friends or people here that serve in our church. It's like, I remember this has happened before and it'll happen again. But I remember even seeing somebody spill coffee. And it's like, and this is when you see the gifts in action. And a person that has the gift of mercy says, oh my gosh, you know what? I do it all the time. You know, it's okay that you spilt that. We'll get somebody to clean that up. It's okay. Then you got a person that has the gift of serving that says, hey, when the coffee spills, I got this. I'm going to go grab the cleaner. Don't worry about it. I got it. How many know what I'm talking about? And then you got somebody that's got the gift of teaching or preaching that comes up and says, well, let me encourage you. If you were to have the lid on a little tighter, probably secured it with both hands, probably wouldn't have dropped. So maybe next time, you know what I'm saying? But the gifts, you can see the gifts in action. How many know what I'm talking about in here today? It's hilarious to me to watch that. It's the diversity. It's awesome. Number two is this is awesome because his gifts are needed. His gifts, everybody, are needed. We need, listen to me, and let me be very clear, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in the local church. Absolutely we do. 1 Corinthians 12:20 says, 27 says, now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary, underline that, necessary part of it. You are a part of the plan of God. You're a part of his global plan. We cannot fulfill the mission that God has for us unless we get this and welcome his gifts in our life. I believe that. We need that. And so there's a stat out there that 87% of Christians in America don't know their gifts or their purpose. It's why we're extremely passionate about Growth Track. Growth Track is starting up in 2 weeks on a Sunday. If you want to connect to our church and you want to know how to be a part and join on the team with us, plan to be there on that first Sunday in September, right after second service. And in this, we do, it's 4 Sunday nights, and one of our Sunday nights are dedicated to this whole message on spiritual gifts, where we help people, we do a gift assessment, helping people identify their gifts, helping people identify and learning where they're gifted at. That's why we believe so much in when, you know, when people go through the growth track and when they serve, it's why we have around 150 that are on our dream team serving every weekend, doing different things even through the week. People serve in this area, in the different areas of our church, not because there's a need, but because it's their gift. And I think people are more likely to grow, dream bigger, succeed, do more for God when they're in the area of their gift and not, they're not just serving in the area of a church because there's a need. I believe we've got to get people plugged into the area of their gift and their passion, and man, release them to dream, and let's see what God can do. And so the people that serve in all the areas are there because it's their gift, not because there's a need. You understand what I'm saying, everybody? Does that make sense? And so our dream is for every one of you to know your gifts and to know your purpose. And so make sure you're a part of that, because his gifts aren't spooky and they're not weird, all right? Number three is his gifts are fulfilling. When you operate in your gift, there's nothing like it. Because people, some of the happiest people that I know are people that are right now serving in their gifts and living out their purpose. And when you do that, you come to a place that I truly believe, and a lot of our dream teamers are this way, and they say things like, man, I was made for this. That's what I'm talking about. You know, they can't dream of doing anything else but serving and thriving in the gifts that God has for them. And I think that's awesome. That's fulfilling. It's because they know they're making an eternal difference, even if they're cleaning up spilled coffee. Come on, even if they're shaking a hand, giving out a worship guide. Come on, teaching our children, singing a song. You know, they're making an eternal difference in the life of somebody else. John 15:8-11, it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You're never going to be happy and fulfilled until you're doing something that makes a difference for eternity. I truly believe that. And so I think we just need to connect to the Holy Spirit, connect with his gifts, and then operate in it. Come on, don't just sit back and watch everybody else do it. Get in the game. Come on, quit. Come out from the grandstands. Come out from the sidelines and get in the game and make a difference, because you've got what it takes. Look at the person next to you. Say, you've got what it takes. Number four, the last one here today, is his gifts. This is awesome. This is awesome. His gifts touch other people's lives. Spiritual gifts, listen to me, everybody, is not about you. It is not for you. It will never be for you. It's always to benefit somebody else. It always is. Caleb and I were talking this week, and we were talking about liking it to a toolbox and how at different times that different gifts can be used for certain times and maybe even certain seasons of your life. I don't always need a hammer, but sometimes I do. I don't always need a screwdriver, but sometimes I do. I don't always need a saw. Pray for me if I ever use one. I don't always use one, but you understand, they're gifts. They're tools that God wants to use through you to touch somebody else's life, because it's not about us. It's about what God is trying to do through you to reach and impact the life of somebody else. Amen, everybody. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. So let me end this message today by defining what a spiritual gift is. You can jot this down. I put this in your notes so you could do this. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives to each of his children so that together they can advance his purposes in this world. Amen. And so I want to just kind of close up today and just thank you guys for your great attention and involvement in the message with me here today. I believe this, that there obviously will come a day that we'll stand before the Lord. We're going to give account for it. For the believer, they'll stand at the judgment seat. And if you don't know the Lord today, I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a minute. But I believe there's a two-part question that we're going to be asked when we stand before the Lord, and nobody's going to be standing with you. It's just going to be you and God. And I want to help you pass your two-part question. First question, I believe that is going to be asked, is the question of, what did you do with my son? God will ask us, what did you do with my son? And hopefully we respond by saying, and he lived in my heart. I believed in him all the days of my life. I live for Jesus every day. So I'm trying to help you pass the test here, all right? So remember that one. All right, and here's the second one. is this: what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? Here's what I was praying over this this week. This message has been really near dear to my heart, because my hope and prayer for you is to open up to this. Open up your heart and your life to the gifts that God wants to give you. And my hope today is that maybe you've noticed that, man, you know what? I haven't been doing anything with them. But you recognize today it's time to come off the bench and get in the game. It's time to stop watching everybody else do it. It's time for me to get in the game and do my part and to be faithful with that. It's never too late to become what you might have been. I believe for people even right here today, today's your day, that you're going to make a decision to advance and to move into the next level that God has for you. I believe it. I believe it. Would you bow your head right where you're at today? God, I thank you for every person in this room. Holy Spirit, minister only like you can. And we just want to, God, our prayer is today is we want to stay open. We want to stay available for you to move in our lives, for you to touch us, God, so that we can use the gifts that you've given us and to move forward in them. So, God, I thank you for a church that believes, God, in the power of the gifts that you've given us. God, that we desire to see that in operation in the life of every believer. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here this morning with every head bowed, before you do anything, before any decision is made, the greatest decision that you need to make is welcoming Jesus in your life. And if you're here today and maybe this God stuff, all this is just new to you, but you know that God is touching your heart, and you need to respond. This is for you today. Maybe you're in a place that you've just felt far away from God. But today you feel, you know that God is beckoning you back. He's welcoming you back into a relationship that, guess what? He never left. He's there. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Kyle, I need to give my heart fully to Jesus today. I need him with everything within me. And I know that I need to make this decision and live this out all the days of my life. With every head bow, we're not going to ask anybody to stand up or to come down to the front. All I'm going to do is ask you to slip up your hand. Be honest before God. Slip up your hand. And that's not singling you out. You're just letting me know, Kyle, I'm going to pray that prayer together, because we're all going to pray together in just a minute. Come on, real honest with God. 1, 2, 3, all over this place. Come on, come on, come on. There's, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Awesome. Proud of you guys. Come on. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Come on, from the front to the back. I'm hanging here just for a minute. Say, man, God, that's me. I need Jesus. I want that personal relationship with him. Powerful. Man, Lord, thank you for whole families, God, giving their hearts to you. It's awesome. Come on, we're going to pray together, all of us as a church. Come on, I want you all to pray with me now. Say, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today, I'm making the decision to never going back. But I'm going forward in a relationship with you. Jesus, I love you. Thank you so much for loving me, for dying on the cross for me, and raising from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. We need to give God a great big hand. I'm talking families. Awesome.